Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file to us if you want to record it on your device and send it over. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. This is the program that's all about your real ghost stories, told by you, the real people. And then we just talk about them a little bit. We don't judge or anything like that. We just pretty much take everybody at their word for their ghost stories. That's what we do every day.
Yes.
Book is out now, too, if you want to check it out. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold, you can get it. It's called Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. And there's a mixture of stories on there, stuff that may have been on some EPP episodes, some that was not at all, some completely unheard things. Mm-hmm. Oscar's got a brand new story in there that wasn't on any episode ever. We tell our stories in there as well. So be sure to check that out and leave a positive review if possible. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
Favorite Halloween decoration this year? Go.
This year?
Yeah, like at a store that's like
a new one?
Yeah, like, or it doesn't have to be necessarily new, but what's standing out to you as your favorite?
I don't know, because you always take the girls and go look at that while I'm doing the grocery shopping or whatever.
You don't go into the Halloween aisles, do you?
I don't very often, so no. I don't know what I like this new.
My favorite this year, and it's not this year, it came out last year, I think was the first time I saw it. It may have been around longer, but I saw it over at Target, and it's probably at other stores too. It's the TV set that has a face that pushes itself out of it.
Oh, yeah.
It first does like the static looking thing, and it's just like it shoots it onto this canvas that is the screen, and then static, and then this face just emerges and kind of pushes its way out. It's really creepy. I love it. I want to get one and just put it in here just for year-round decorations.
Uh-huh.
I have yet to do it, though. But you have to think about that.
Yeah.
Look at some of the aisles while they still have Halloween stuff in. And
give you that for Christmas?
Not Christmas. Hey, that would be an interesting Christmas gift.
For us, it would be normal.
What did Tony get? He got a bunch of Halloween decorations for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. Okay. I would really enjoy Halloween decorations. Now, I may buy that before Christmas because
you're not allowed they're to going buy to yourself sell anything from now until Christmas.
But it's going to sell out and it's going to be gone.
Oh, well. Sorry.
Anyway, there you go. There's some gift ideas.
That's what you do. You're like, oh, I really want that. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll make a mental note.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, you went and got it. It's like you're the hardest person to shop for because you just go and get it.
Get stuff. Yeah. I never even thought of Halloween decorations for gifts outside of like Halloween.
I'm grasping at straws for what to get you.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of ideas right there.
Okay.
I love the animatronic, creepy Halloween stuff. I'd love to put more of that up in here. Now that the girls are a little bit older, too, and when Harper goes by the zombie-type characters that you press buttons of, for the most part, she'll just go, "Hi, Mr. Zombie," and is really cool with it. There's like maybe one or two that she's still not cool with, but for the most part, she loves going down the aisle, like shaking the skeleton's hand.
Yeah.
And she likes to pet the ghost or the skeleton dogs in the store. Then she gets a lot of looks from people like, "What is that? Okay."
She's our little girl.
It's better than her freaking out.
Yes.
There was when she freaked out about this year. Where was that? Was at Home Depot, I think. Was that where she, there was a freak out moment in front of, I think it was the Harley rider.
Yeah, she didn't like that
one. That was a pretty creepy one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like a zombie on a Harley.
And well, and then like he like lifts up and pops a wheelie. And so he does a lot more than you expect him to.
Yeah.
So I could see why it scared her.
Did you ever think that there would be Halloween decor to this level that we have now when you were a kid?
No.
You know, I mean, this is like on the level of like what the Disney stuff was at that point in time, mm-hmm. where it's like, you're only going to see that at Disney World. Now it's at, you know, the Home Depot.
Sure.
I had no idea. I mean, we would always make little like creepy, you know, like zombies and stuff out of just old clothes, stuff them with leaves and other things and put a mask on and, you know, mm-hmm. put it around the yard for the decor. But the idea of what some of these things can do now is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably going to get better and better until eventually it gives us all heart attacks. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And like I said, of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Linda from Indiana calling in another story once again. This one pertains to my father again. It just happened a few days ago, and it's rather interesting. It was Saturday, and my sister and I went to visit him. He's 96 years old, and he lives in the same house that we lived in since 1968. And I think the house is creepy to begin with. This is the house that had my evil grandmother living there. It was her house to begin with, but she's long gone and he still lives there. And my brother also lives there and kind of helps things out with my dad. Well, we were there visiting and we were talking. It was actually very nice. Nothing unusual went on. And I went to put the water in the coffee pot because he always gets the coffee ready for my sister and I when we're on our way there. It's a little 4-cup coffee maker, and he has a hard time pouring it into the reservoir because he really can't lift his arms too far up because his shoulders hurt him so bad. So he usually puts the water into the carafe and then leaves it there for my sister or I to pour it in and turn it on. So when we got there, the coffee was set up for us and the little donuts were out there waiting. And he said, "Linda, go ahead and make the coffee." Well, I looked at that little coffee carafe, little glass one, and I thought to myself, that's really kind of dirty looking. It was, you know, just coffee scale on it, and I thought, I better clean it. Coffee will taste better. So I was washing it out with the sponge and the soap, and he turns around and he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm washing your pot out." "Why? I rinse it every time I use it." "I know," I said, "but it still needs to be washed with some soap." "No problem, Dad. I'll do it for you." So I did, and oh my goodness, it was just nice and clean, and I put the water in, and everything tasted fine. The coffee tasted better, and so that was that. We visited for a little while, and then we left. It was maybe 4 hours, 5 hours later, Saturday, early evening, I get a call from my dad, and he sounded kind of shook up. Now, mind you, he's 96 years old. He's got a lot of OCD going on. I think when you get older and at that age, you know, if things aren't the way you want them, you're going to have problems. It just rocks your world when you move something out of position and it's not the way it should be. Well, anyway, he says, remember you cleaned that coffee pot? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I don't know what's going on here, but he said, it's scaring me. And I said, what's scaring you? I thought maybe he dropped it or something, or he got hurt. And he said, now, I know that the coffee carafe was empty because I poured the old coffee that you had made and left into my cup that was sitting on the counter. I'll just use the coffee here, and then I'm going to have Mike, my brother, he said, make another pot for me. So while my brother was in the basement doing his thing or whatever, my dad went and, you know, put the water, two cups worth. He says, and I know it was 2 cups of clean water because I could see through the pot now because you washed it so nice. Okay, Dad, I'm glad you like it. So he puts the little coffee carafe on the counter because he can't pour the water in. It's too high for him, so he's going to wait for my brother to pour it in. But he was able to take the little filter holder, and he put the filter in the little cone thing, and then he put his, you know, 2-3 scoops of coffee in there. That he's able to do. But he left the clear carafe with the clear water sitting on the counter. When my brother comes upstairs, he said, I'll ask him to make it for me. So in the meantime, my dad takes his little scooter and he goes into the front room and he's watching a baseball game. In the meantime, my brother comes upstairs and my dad says to Mike, hey, can you make that coffee for me? I left it ready for you. Just pour it in there for me, okay? All right. Well, 4 seconds later, my brother comes into the front room and he goes, I can't. And my dad says, you can't what? And Mike says, I can't make the coffee. And my dad says, why can't you make the coffee? Because there's coffee in it. And my dad says, what do you mean there's coffee in it? He says, well, there's coffee in the little white carafe, in the little clear carafe. And he's like, that's impossible. I just left it there a few minutes ago. It was just water. I didn't do anything to it. So my dad gets back on his scooter, goes into the kitchen, and lo and behold, there is that little 4-cup carafe sitting there with coffee water in it. It was coffee. And he said, how did that happen? He said, I just put clear water in it for you to make me coffee. The filter that he put in the coffee machine was still dry. It still had the coffee grounds in it. The coffee was not made through the machine, but the coffee water was sitting in the coffee carafe. And he was just beside himself. That just rocked his little world. And he was telling me this, and I said, well, maybe someone's, you know, trying to do you a favor. And he misconstrued it, thinking I didn't believe him, and he thought that I meant Mike must have made it for him. And I said, that's not what I meant, Dad. Obviously, maybe one of your spirits is there, you know, trying to help you out. He goes, well, I think this spirit's wearing horns. Why would he do that to me? I said, what makes you think it's the devil? I said, perhaps it was my mother, his wife, who's been long gone. Or maybe it was his father, my grandfather, who's long gone. Maybe they were doing you a favor, but it turned out the opposite, and it didn't work for you. And then he calmed down a little bit, and he says, well, I don't need anybody to make my coffee. I don't want this happening. I want to make my own coffee, and I just want to be peaceful here. I don't want anybody messing with me. And I told him, Dad, then you just have to tell him. Leave it alone. I'll do things myself. And he laughed. He says, yeah, you think so? I said, well, yeah. Maybe sometimes if there is really a, you know, spirit there, you got to tell him. I don't want you here. Go back where you belong. And he said, well, yeah, if you say so. But now that's the second thing that happened to me. And I said, well, what was the first thing? He said, same thing again. The door keeps opening and closing and nobody comes in. Now, this has been an ongoing thing. I used to hear it all the time. My sister used to hear it all the time. The front door makes a certain noise when it gets opened. And my brother's at work. My dad will be sitting in the kitchen working on his little puzzles to keep his mind, you know, active. And he says, I hear that door open. And he's looking and nobody comes in. The door isn't open. He wheels in there with his scooter and door shut. But he said, I heard it. And I said, I believe you, Dad. I can't tell you how many times my sister, Janice, and I have heard that door open, but nobody ever came in. Once in a while, my sister would actually hear the footsteps, but I never heard the footsteps. But my dad says, yeah, he hears it. So that was my story for this past Saturday. And I told him, well, if somebody wanted to harm you, Dad, they would have done it. So obviously, they're not there to harm you. However, there was one episode while my sister and I were there Saturday, which can or cannot be explained. I have to question it, but my dad rolled over with his office chair. He uses an office chair to sit at the table. And he rolled over to either the garbage can to throw something away or to get my sister and I the newspaper. He wanted to show us something in the newspaper, and it's kept just to the left of the stove. Well, he did that, nothing unusual. Now, we had been there about 15 minutes already, and all of a sudden, I get a whiff of something. I was like, what is that? You know, and all of a sudden, my sister says the same thing. She goes, I smell gas. I said, that's what I'm smelling. And we looked over at the stove. Both dials for the rear and the front burners were slightly turned on. Now, I didn't see him hit that with his chair at all. He's pretty good about that, but I'm not saying he didn't accidentally bump those dials, but we turned them off right away. That's the only thing that kind of concerned me, you know, speaking about a spirit that's wearing horns, but that would have ill intent, I think. So that one's questionable. But the coffee pot, he's just beside himself with that. He says, now I know Jesus turned water into wine, but I don't think he's out there turning my water into coffee. But just another story. I have another one that I'll call in that happened to me, and I needed to call my dad for help on that one. And that happened back in probably 1970. I'll call that back in a couple of days. I have to get my ideas straight on that one so I'm not babbling. But love your show. Hope you read it on the air. Thanks again for what you do. Bye.
Thanks for sharing that story with us.
I think it'd be easy to say, oh, well, it's just a malfunctioning coffee pot if it weren't for the fact that this coffee is instantaneously showing up.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought, well, maybe it's something's going out with the coffee pot and it's just starting to make coffee on its own. But
sure.
It sounds like it's 1 minute it's empty, the next second you take another look at it and it's full.
Yeah.
That's not a faulty coffee pot.
No, that's a ghost making coffee.
Yeah. And quite a quick way, too.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive ghostly coffee. Thank you for the story. I did like that one. So please do keep sharing those stories with us. Greatly appreciate that. Have you ever tried the cold brew coffee?
No.
It's like a big thing now. You see it in stores. Like you can even like buy like boxes of it.
I drink coffee because it's hot.
I do, too. I mean, I like iced coffee, but it almost has to be kind of like Frappuccino-ish, where it's like creamy.
Yeah.
And that's how I like it cold. I've never been one where I can just do an iced coffee literally like black.
No.
But I know I've seen, and I don't even know what cold brew coffee is or how it's made. I said something I should just Google have this invention.
I've heard the term a lot, but I haven't tried it, and I don't know that I want to.
I'm curious what it's all about. I wonder if it's one of those things I try and go, oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll have to look into that. We're going to have people, I'm sure, they're going to say, oh, it's great or it's horrible. And we'll do a little Googling. I'll get some. I'll try it. I'm curious. Okay. I remember the first time I had a cold coffee. It was like 1990, I don't know, three-ish. Mm-hmm. And there was a product out. It was called like Frappio or something.
Okay.
And it was like the only one that was on the market for, you know, most of the country. And I think like Nespresso or Nestea, whatever one of those companies made it. And it was like a Frappuccino-y type coffee. You drink it iced. And I remember thinking, this is going to be gross and disgusting. I think my mom got like a bottle free or something at the grocery store, like a free sample. And she also thought this is going to be gross and disgusting. And then we tried like, oh, this is amazing. This is good stuff, the iced coffee. But it's always had the creaminess. But I'm kind of curious about this cold brew stuff. Is it a hipster thing?
I don't think so. I think it's just a new innovation.
I want to try the coffee that has the or made with the nitro.
Okay.
Where it's like a Guinness almost. Yeah. People say it's a lot like that, except there's no alcohol in it.
I know where you can get that.
Which is good for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to try one of those sometime.
Yeah.
All this little coffee talk. Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Tony, hey, Jenny. This is Jessica from Michigan. And I'm calling to tell you about my story about the haunted minivan. I know it sounds kind of ridiculous, but a long time ago, my first car I ever had was a hand-me-down Ford minivan. It was green. I think it was a 1998. And for a really long time, probably several years, it ran fine. And probably 4 or 5 years into having that car, weird things started to happen. Kind of a little off trail of the story here. I know I've heard Jenny talk a lot about sliders, and I definitely think I am one. I always say I break electronics. I've had it my whole life. I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but sometimes I think about this minivan that I had started to malfunction. So at first I'm thinking the slider thing. I'm thinking, oh, it's just me. I don't know, for some reason, maybe I'm messing with the electronics. But around that time it started to malfunction, I was dating a guy that had a lot of negativity around him. I don't know exactly what, but it was a very abusive relationship and just really not healthy, probably for either of us. And one day he was actually driving the car, the minivan, and all of the little needles, where the horsepower is, the miles per gallon, the speed, just start going crazy. They were literally just like, I don't even know how to explain it. They were ticking, and it was just like they were going nuts, just up and down, up and down. And then there would be weird things, like the car would accelerate really fast and then stop on its own. So I did the right thing. I took it to the mechanic, and I told them what was going on, and I got a tune-up. I took really good care of this minivan. They said they couldn't find anything wrong with it. And I was like, okay. So I took it to another mechanic and I said, this is what's happening. It's kind of freaking me out. What's going on? And they said everything was fine. So I don't know what it was. And there was another time that I was driving and my friend was just kind of joking around, kind of venting about something, and we were laughing, and she was just like, ugh, and she hit the dashboard, and my car went from about 50, and it tried to go up to 100, and I couldn't stop it. It was terrifying. And every so often, I would get the ticking. Sometimes it would just randomly shut off. I really don't know why that would happen. Like I said, I got it checked out by a ton of mechanics and everything. I don't know if it was maybe... So this minivan used to be my grandfather's, and he was very protective of his family. there's a lot of stories about that, which I will definitely call in and tell you about. But sometimes I wonder if maybe it had something to do with my grandpa not liking the boyfriend that I had at the time. I don't know, but I always called it the haunted minivan because I'm an empath and I'm also a medium. And when I think about it, I just really feel like it was something paranormal. So anyway, that's my story about my haunted van. And I hope you liked it. I hope to hear it. And I would love to hear if anybody else has had an experience like this. Just so you know, I'm a proud EPP, and I have been for a long time. Your show is my absolute favorite thing in the world. So thank you for everything and listening to my story.
So I have a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know how sometimes you have rambler ghosts that will just come to your house after you've lived there for a long time, and it's like, where did this ghost come from? And then suddenly they leave.
Like a passer through.
Yeah, okay. I wonder if you can have like a hitchhiker ghost where you accidentally go somewhere and they start haunting your vehicle. And because she had it 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. before anything ever happened. So I wonder if she accidentally picked up some spirit somewhere.
I would think that if an object can pick up something, a vehicle could do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you think twice now about going and driving through cemeteries just for fun.
It kind of does.
Not me.
I know.
I love cemeteries. I know. Wandering through. I always thought, interesting thing about cemeteries is I always thought that that may be one of the least haunted places.
Yeah.
Because other than, you know, people like us that enjoy wandering through cemeteries in the living, most people don't spend a whole lot of time there. It's not like, oh, we're going to the cemetery every day, unless you like live there or work there or something of that nature, you know?
Sure.
So I just kind of thought, well, people, when they haunt things, they tend to haunt, or they seem to at least tend to haunt places where they have been on a regular basis. And unless you're always at the cemetery, that's probably not a place.
Yeah.
But then again, we have plenty of stories from cemeteries of people being confused and sticking with their body. So, I don't know. I think it very much depends on the case. Thanks for calling in that story and sharing it with us. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Tina calling from L.A. And this story is about something that happened to me back in, I would say, 1998. I went to Miami, to South Beach, to visit a friend. And one day we decided to go hang out with a coworker of hers who was living in the guest house of this big, giant, beautiful mansion. And the people that she was renting the guest house from were out of town. So she's like, why don't you come down? We can swim and barbecue, all that stuff. So we're like, sure. So we get there. We're having a great time. You know, eating, and, you know, it'd been a few hours, and I went inside to use the restroom, and I got through the kitchen. Oh, and the restroom was in the main house, not her guest house. So I'm going into the main house, the big giant mansion, and it's beautiful. I go through the kitchen, and then I get into the dining room, and I just stopped. I couldn't tell you why. I didn't hear or see anything, but something just stopped me in my tracks, and I turned around so fast that I wrenched my ankle and I ran back out to the pool. And all of a sudden I was just like, what's wrong with me? Why am I so scared? Couldn't explain it, but one of my friends, I was like, you mind? This sounds stupid, but can you come to the bathroom with me? I don't know what just happened. She's like, sure. So my friend comes into the bathroom with me, and, you know, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden she just gets up and leaves. She leaves me all alone in there, and I'm like, wait. Because I was scared. Didn't know why, but I was. So the day progresses. We end up leaving in the evening, and we go back to my friend's house. And this was really creepy. We were all in the living room watching TV, and suddenly her dog starts to growl, and the hair is standing up on the back of its neck, and we see a man just standing outside her window, like under, with his face just staring into the... He was really creepy looking. He had big giant eyes, and he was staring into the living room, like right at us. And so her boyfriend ran out, went out there. He didn't see anybody. So that was really creepy. And later that night, my friend who I asked to come into the bathroom with me because I was scared, she turned to me and she goes, "Listen, I didn't want to frighten you because I know you were already scared, but when we walked, you have to walk past a staircase to get to the restroom." She said, "I heard like a jagged breath caught like in her throat, like a like someone gasping for breath." So she heard that, and I was just like, oh my God, I knew something was going on in there. So the next day, my friend spoke to her coworker and was like, "Listen, is there something going on with that house?" And it turned out there was a lot of stuff going on with that house. The previous owners, I think, had died in the house. And then the current owner, his husband had passed away in the house. And she also said her family came to visit her once, and they were all scared of the house. They didn't, because they could have slept in a guest bedroom in the big house instead of her little guest house. They were like, "No, we'd rather sleep on the floor. It's too scary in there." But she had an older sister who was like, "You guys are crazy. I'm going to sleep in a bed tonight. See you later." So the next morning, they all get up relatively early, and her sister is already out by the pool reading a book, like the sun is just coming up. Turns out in the middle of the night, she woke up, and there was a man and a woman standing at the foot of her bed, staring at her. So she got out of there real quick and decided to just hang out by the pool all night until the sun came up. So that's pretty much it. It was just kind of all these different things, and you know, when you're like, you think you're crazy because you get a feeling or something just comes over you and you react and you don't know why, and then later you find out, there was something really happening in there, and what I felt was, you get validated, you know, it was real. So anyways, thanks for playing this, and take care.
I think you shouldn't, you know, even if you don't get that validation from somebody else, never ignore that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the most important thing I can tell anybody, is never, ever ignore that feeling. If you don't feel like everything's all good, there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm. It's an intuition type thing. Mm-hmm. And some people's are stronger than others.
Yes.
I would say. Or some people just don't listen. We're paying attention to them as strong as others, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely agree. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Do greatly appreciate it. I was just reading about how to make a cold brew coffee.
Okay.
You put the grounds, from what I'm still reading, so I'm probably giving bad information right now.
Does it require special grounds?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Just fairly finely ground. And then you put it with the water, let it seep overnight. Then okay. You strain it.
Uh-huh.
And then you have cold brew coffee.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
You let me know how that works.
I'll try that, and I'll see how it goes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, my name is Jamie. I'm from New York City, and I just started listening to your show. I have a few ghost stories, but I will tell you my two most recent ones real quick. First one happened a few years ago. There's a gym in the apartment building that I live in. One night, I decided to go to the gym. It was around 8:30 at night. I get there and I realize I'm alone. I thought, okay, cool, gym to myself. I'm on the treadmill listening to music, and I swear I felt like if I turned around, someone was going to be in the doorway watching me. I just got that being watched feeling. So I turn around, nobody's there. Go back to on the treadmill. Again, keep getting that feeling. At one point, I stopped, looked around the entire gym, and no one was there. So I go back to the treadmill, listening to my music, and all of a sudden, the treadmill shut off and would not turn back on. At that point, I don't care. I ran for it. Didn't care about the lights, the air conditioner, nothing. My other story is a few years ago, my uncle died suddenly in his sleep while in a nursing home recovering from an amputation due to diabetes. For several months after his death, I had to go to the house every day to feed his cats, change the litter, and to start cleaning out his stuff and get his stuff out of the house. Well, one day, I go into the house, look to my left, turn on the light switch right by the door. I look, and I see my uncle, as solid as you or I, sitting at his dining room table, staring out his kitchen window. I jumped because it startled me, reached for my phone to take a picture, and he was gone. After that, even when nobody but me and the cats were in the house, I still felt like someone was in the house. A couple of times, I thought he was right in the room with me or right in the next room, and at least once, I was walking down the hallway of his building to throw something out, and I felt like someone was following me down the hallway and back to the apartment. Figured I'd tell you my stories. I hope you use them. Bye.
There you go.
You can't deny it when you see it flat out.
Yeah.
That's just, it is what it is.
You got a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And since we've been talking about coffee, here's the thing. Here's how you make it. I have the information now. I'll just share it before we wrap up the show because there's going to be somebody else out there going, I want to try that too. How do you do it?
Okay.
From what I found, one cup coffee beans to four cups water. Coarsely ground them. Don't do it too fine because too fine is going to be like sand and it'll get really hard to strain and you'll have a gritty, bad coffee. Let it seep for at least 12 hours. So literally your coarsely ground beans in the water in your fridge, 12 hours.
Okay.
Take it out, strain it out, you know, so I just run it through a coffee filter again to get the grounds out. And there you go. You can mix it with cream, sugar, whatever you want, just like you would do with normal coffee. Now you know how to make cold brewed coffee, everyone.
Now I know.
Congratulations. The more you know. Mm-hmm. You didn't expect to listen to a ghost show and learn how to make coffee today, now did you?
No.
There you go. That wraps up today's episode. And tomorrow, quiches. We're going to talk about how to make a lovely kale.
You and your quiches.
Yeah, I love quiche.
You know, people probably think we eat a lot of quiche, but I don't think we've had a quiche in years.
I think we have it like once a year when my mom makes it.
Yeah, she makes the best, so I don't even try. Yeah,
it's like a Christmas. It's a Christmas quiche. It's a Christmas miracle.
It's one of my favorite things. So yeah, I'm like, it's not going to top hers. I'm just not going to try.
I just always like saying the word quiche. I don't know why.
Okay.
Get enjoyment out of that. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all the bonus episodes of the show, all 160, some of those brand new ones every single week, and other exclusive content up there for you, including ghost videos and more at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.